again to our Monday night. We call it a Monday night conference call. And there's usually a conference call simulcast with CBS Radio in this broadcast. And my name is Lynn Free, and let me see, what time is it? 6:59. I'm going to just BS till 7, even though we officially start at 6:55. Most people think of it as 7 or 6 Pacific time. So if you're on the line, just hold on for a moment. And I would anticipate that maybe tonight we're going to have a lot of new listeners because of the response we got at our talk that we get, interview we did with Linda Parnell last Thursday. And I thank all of you for listening and emailing me and signing up in Message a Day. And I hope that I can offer you things that will be of service to you in this period that we're going through right now. So I'm an ordinary guy like everyone else. I'm human, I'm in a body, and I am in this period of transition that our planet's going through, which is called a dimensional shift. And there are many people out there who are bringing forth information about this. Many of them agree with my information, and some are slightly different. But in general, there is the question of what do you trust, what can you do with it, and how can you directly improve your life as a result of, say, information concerning the period we're in. And that's one of the things I hope to offer, that maybe I have some insights into this period that are backed up with a little more credibility and a little guidance as to what we can do as individuals to help ourselves and to help each other. So I'm not going to repeat the story. There's a story about this that we've told many times on the air about my experiences and David Wilcox's experiences and the idea of interdimensional communication, or i.e. sources in other realms that are communicating to me and others that are making attempts at giving us insights and information about this period. But with regards to the sources that I've been dealing with, there's more than just information. There's the ability to actually connect with the sources vibrationally. And this all started for me as I was writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And I myself have always been somewhat leery and skeptical of channeled information. And I think my fear was that there would be some source that was powerful and wise that maybe would start taking over the direction of my life. And in fact, as I've connected with the sources that we call the Ra group and the Elohim group, that has not been the case. There's only been incredible wisdom, incredible understanding, and positive sources, or what the Ra group calls service to other sources. Respect, this is a very important point, respect the discernment of each person, the learning of discernment. so that they don't actually tell you what to do and how to do it. They give you the guidance on how to apply your own discernment and a criteria that either it makes sense or it doesn't make sense. So, in my case, I actually cross-referenced a tremendous amount of the material coming through David Wilcock and another person in the channel, Ra, Carla Rucker, for a couple of years, deciding that it was legitimate and real. And I encourage everybody who's listening to not take anything I say at face value, but number one, see if it resonates in your own heart. Number two, do some of the cross-referencing. Read the materials. It's very important. The Ra Group is a source which is in another dimension. What is another dimension? Another timeline. The idea being that time is a very relative thing. And although we exist in a realm where time seems fairly absolute, in the hologram of the universe, time is very relative. And there are a multiplicity of timelines stacked on top of each other with various intelligences, beings, apparently physicalized, but in another timeline. And at the very higher timelines, they're not physicalized. They're just energy. And these energies group together, or are grouped together, and have ways of interfacing with this timeline that we're in right now. And some of you have heard of sacred geometries, and I'm not nowhere near an expert at that. In fact, I'm not even an amateur. But I intuitively grasp that the timelines are connected via certain geometrical, mathematical proportions. And that we don't have to understand that, because we can, through our intent, penetrate timelines. We can move through this realm here into other timelines and have some indication that we've actually done so. We don't actually see them. It's not like, because we don't have eyes to see in those dimensions. So we have to sense it in our vibratory field, in our intuitions, and some people, through their dreams, some people can get dream messages. In fact, I would be very, I would assume that many of you who are listening tonight are actually being worked with in your dream state, but you don't remember it. And if you created the discipline to write your dreams down, you may be surprised at what you find. The thing about expanding your own hologram into higher dimensions is that it's kind of like you're going into an area that's unfamiliar. And there are huge amounts of intelligence and beings and energies that you can't see with your physical eyes. So when you expand, it's kind of like you're going into an area blindfolded, and you need guidance, or at least criteria, as to how to navigate that area with a blindfold on, since your physical senses will not give you the indication. In other words, if you're walking down the block and a mad dog is rushing towards you, you'll see it. If you're in another dimension and a negative being is rushing towards you, you won't see it. So part of expanding one's matrix is learning how to have the criteria, the intuition to go through these areas and not get bitten by mad dogs, so to speak, because they do exist. And this is part of what maybe I'll share a bit today on how to expand your matrix and not get bitten. Part of doing that has to do with making friends with the good guys, what I believe to be the good guys in other realms. And these good guys are these two group souls. One of them is the group soul that was speaking through Edgar Cayce, and the other is the group soul that has spoken through me, to me, through the people around me, two personal relationships. And I've had many, many opportunities to ask questions about this to them, validate it, cross-reference it in history, and it seems to be very coherent and consistent. And there's a great story involved that goes beyond anything that I could have ever dreamed or imagined that I'd be in the middle of at this point in my life. But I've assumed a responsibility, a sense of responsibility, because once I got to the point where I said this is real and it's important and it's also somewhat rare in this realm to have this kind of connection, is why I started this call on BBS Radio, to be able to put this out and share it with those people that were reaching and looking and wanting to refine their understandings of this dimensional shift. So it has to do, to begin with the way human evolution works, and that each of us that's in a physical body has had many, 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 many past lives. And apparently, not just on this planet, but on other planets and other galaxies. And the way it's described by the Ra group is that in this realm, we can do everything, but we don't know why we should. We know nothing. And when you're in the other realm, say in between lives, you're now an energy unit that understands your whole path, but has to come into a body to change and grow within your path. So there's this dilemma constantly going on, or paradox, where when you die, you end up having attachments energetically to this realm. And when you move into the metaphysical realm, where you're in your soul and you're not embodied, you have an awareness of these attachments, and that you have to come back here to release yourself from the attachments. And so you create a circumstance where you incarnate again. Now you're back in a body and you don't know why you're here. And this idea of releasing yourself from attachments makes no sense, because in this realm, there's no indication that it works this way. So then we go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and we keep what they call gross repeating cycles, both as individuals and cultures and even worlds. So in order to get out of these gross repeating cycles, we need to gain an awareness that we can actually comprehend that says, maybe this is the way it works. Because for everything I just said, very few of you have any way of validating that directly. But there are ways to validate it indirectly. For example, is reincarnation real? Of course, in the Western world, it's not readily accepted. And in the Eastern world, many of the religions incorporate it as part of their regular belief system. Well, in my world, I must know something, not because I read it, not because it's a religion, not because it's popular, but I needed to validate it for myself. And I've told this story, and one of the ways that I validated it was years ago when I had a past life reading, and someone told me that I was repeating a lot of patterns this life that were from a lifetime when I was a troubadour. And after the reading, I realized that I had written a song 6 years before the reading that described exactly the same lifetime. And I thought the song was a fantasy. So I was very convinced at that point that reincarnation was real. And so knowing that it was real didn't really still give me the wisdom to understand what I could do with that. Although, as I said in a workshop yesterday, I did manage to forgive my father because it became revealed to me that my father had killed me in this other lifetime, and there was a lot of resentment towards my father. So in my study of David Wilcock, in researching that to write the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, there was a very in-depth explanation and understanding of reincarnation. And more than that, there was this tremendous guidance from this source that was speaking through David that identified itself as the Ra Group. And the Ra Group was made up of beings, souls, energies that had graduated from this realm and took the stance of being a group that was helping planets, particularly our planet, who were at a lower level of evolution or in this realm, and helping them to evolve and graduate. And so I thought I'd share the thing that really struck me about the Ra Group as they were speaking through David Wilcock was their wisdom. And they were talking to David, and in many of the things they were saying to David, they were looking at David and guiding him, trying to prepare him for a role. And he was still incredulous himself that this was real. So I thought I'd share a couple of ways that the Ra Group formulates their words, understanding that when they communicate, their energy is actually embedded in their vocabulary, in the way they put words together. So as I read this, perhaps you yourself might close your eyes for a moment and connect and see if you can feel an energy. At the time I was writing it, my friend Terry and I were editing it, and she and I would read these channelings aloud, and we could feel and energy every time we read them out loud to each other. So I'm just opening the book up at a random spot here. Similarly, these truths of the heart cannot be gleaned from a textbook. They cannot be dictated into a tape recorder and transcribed, though we try our best to do this. They cannot be found in books. They cannot be seen in street signs as you drive around. Teachers will not impart them in classes. Indeed, the only way that the truths of the heart may be apprehended are those in those cases where you are capable of seeking the Christ light within yourself, identifying it as such, and then preparing its radiance and beauty so it may be offered to others as an inexhaustible jewel of such brilliance that it illuminates the darkest night and remains solid as an everlasting presence. Now, with all these conditions are implied a few other points of contrast that we can discuss herein. For when you split open the watermelon of the higher realms for the first time, you discover how sweet it is. We only use the watermelon metaphor to illustrate the waters of life or the spirit and that red or pink color that is then associated with the heart. So why wait? Don't we take the necessary opportunities for our learning process and become them each moment? Aren't we fulfilling our obligations to ourselves when we choose to be brutally honest with ourselves, to tell the truth, and to see eye to eye with our own beliefs? Are we not stumbling along and wondering what is going to happen next and what we should do next? Is there more to life than asking philosophical questions, but rather acting on philosophical beliefs, acting on those things which you understand and perceive to be true, not retarding one's progress, but rather enlivening it with the understandings that can come clearer and clearer as you learn to accept yourself and to accept the divine movement of energies that exist all around you, within you, and without you, for now and forever. You have taken the basic steps that are necessary to unfurl the hidden scroll of wisdom that lies encapsulated within the self. We suggest you give yourself more credit and become more responsible for your own personal healing process. Understand that your attitude is everything, that moment by moment you have a choice as to how you will perceive yourself and how you will perceive others. We have hinted at the proclivity towards viewing sameness in the creation and seeing the unifying umbrella of oneness that can connect together many things that most would consider grievous and unstoppable. Whether you choose to do something about this or not is up to you, but you do have the power. The forces that are available to you can indeed put you in a position where you are that of the resistance to the negative forces on the planet. You yourself can turn the tide and halt the unstoppable energy that is flowing, recognizing its malleability and its degree of change. We do suggest that all will come into play. Know in your heart and body and mind that all is forgiven, all is accepted, all is indeed yours to experience. The choices and how you navigate through them determine the speed of your learning curve. No judgment. You have worked through these issues with yourself, with bravery and diligence, and for that you receive our commendations. More and more, you can learn to silence the voices of fear and worry. you can find greater acceptance of yourself, greater responsibility for your own actions, and indeed a renewed opportunity to see others as the self and to accept them that much more. For if they are yourself, then indeed they can reflect the parts of yourself that are hurting and still in need of integration. Okay, that was actually a reading that David Wilcock did probably in the year 2000 for someone. And in his readings, which he doesn't do now, in his readings, he would touch on things that are true for all of us. And as we go through this show, I'd like to be able to work with everyone listening and invoke those energies of oneness, of the Christ consciousness, right here, right now. And I'd like you to take a moment and feel yourself. Feel your being. Where are you? Are you in your mind? Are you feeling empty inside? Are you feeling joy? Are you feeling lack? Are you feeling fear? Just take a look and don't judge yourself, just observe. Consider the possibility that although you feel alone, that you're not. That there's an energy that transfers here in this call, and that around you there are beings, positive beings, that are energy beings that you can be friends with. They're invisible, but they're real. They're invisible in this realm. To my experience, this is how, or one of the ways, this group soul can connect with you. They describe themselves as an amoeba of energy spread through the galaxy. And that when someone calls on them, calls on their frequency, they sense it and can move in and around that person. Like an invisible hand of energy coming around you. This is one of the ways that they work with people in this realm. So it's like creating a friend, an invisible friend that can touch you and reach you and that you can invoke. And be your companions.
All callers are muted.
Now, throughout our history, the history of mankind, they have been working with people like this. Oftentimes, historically, the kind of explanations we've been giving on this line were too sophisticated. And there was a simplistic way of saying, just tune into this frequency, and perhaps you'll call it spirit, God, love, huge group energy of graduates of this realm would answer. And they would work. And the way they describe themselves is they're a group, but they can become one. They can become separate and become one. They can assign sections to a certain circumstance. They can change. They can be subgroups. And that they have a whole administration of themselves in response to the needs of, in particular, our planet. I would assume they work with other beings and other planets, but I don't really have that information. As I was studying the Wilcock material, I was introduced to the material of a lady by the name of Carla Ruckert, who, according to Wilcock and according to a lot of indications, was channeling the same Ra. And in her material, there was a great explanation of how they have involved themselves in our realm, specifically through Egypt, and that there was an attempt to raise the level of vibration here through a couple of incidences in Egypt. One of them was when Atlantis was falling apart. There was a high priest in Egypt by the name of Ra Ta, and according to the Edgar Cayce readings, Ra Ta was a former incarnation of Edgar Cayce. And although Edgar Cayce was never introduced to the idea of the Ra group, and I think that I made the case in the book that that was because he was a fundamentalist Christian, and this idea of a group soul that's composed of graduates might have just pushed him over the edge, and he wouldn't have been willing to share his readings or continue doing his readings. So he identified the voice that was speaking through him as his source. And that's the only name he gave it. And he believed it was the Christ. But, of course, what is the Christ? What is the Christ? You know, there's a certain point where you can't solve the mystery. The mystery has to stay a mystery. But if we went one step up from our normal, say, waking consciousness, perhaps we could say the Christ is the oneness of everything. And that when you are cognizant or operating in the Christ, you are also operating in what the Ra group calls the law of one. And you've learned to look at other people and see the oneness of yourself in those people, which is obviously compassion is a natural outgrowth of that. So you can't do this in a mental way. It has to be a spontaneous connection where you're with somebody and you, there was the word from Stranger in a Strange Land, you grok them. You take them in. You look at them and you see yourself. You look at their struggles, and maybe they're not your struggles today, but maybe they were your struggles at an earlier point in your life. Or maybe they were your struggles in another lifetime. But for whatever reasons, you know you connect. And when you connect in this way, there can be an actual connection of energy. You see, just like group souls can move together and become a conglomerate of energy, so can we move together as humans and do that. and we can perceive this energy of oneness. We have that potential. Now, most of us can't really exercise the potential. Most of us feel separated. And there has never been a greater time in the history of mankind to transcend that separateness and to grow into this experience of what the Ra group calls the law of one. A direct perception that we're all part of each other, separated. It's somewhat like one analogy would be as if there's this huge lake and it has all these tributaries of small streams and rivers flowing out from it. And that if you go down the tributary, you don't know that it's a lake. You only know that it's a tiny little stream. And so when you go up it, and each of us can do that, each of us can move upwards in our consciousness and be part of the lake. And the lake would represent the Christ energy, that we're all from the same body of water, so to speak. And the tributary would represent the part of us that feels alone, separated, isolated, and on our own. And that by some mechanism, we can move our consciousness into this experience of the lake. Now, right now, we have many people listening to this show. And each of you is listening on some kind of audio device, your computer, telephone, and you're in your separate body, in your separate room. And where is the lake? The lake is here also, right now. And what we've learned to do on these telephone calls is through our intention, we can move into the experience of the lake. And when we do, we can find this feeling of expansion and the connection with the energies of these higher group souls. And one of them is the Ra group, which I'm emphasizing tonight. We can just be silent for a moment and imagine that connection. Imagine that just because I'm intending it and you're sharing that intention, you can feel, some of you will feel, a presence around you. And I know the skeptical mind, because I have one myself, will say, my gosh, she's just suggesting that. That can't be real. But I tested this, and I know it's real. I know they're real. And I know that someone has the ability to connect with them. Not only are they real, they can do things, but they can't violate free will. They can help you. They can be your companion. They can actually do healings. They can be your friend. They can assign members of the group to you. And you can experience a silent companionship. It helps heal some of you, your wounds, your separation from all that is. There's a great chapter in my book, The Incarnation of Edgar Cayce, where they give some of their criteria for connecting with you. And actually, I highly recommend reading this book because it helps. If you have any idea that this kind of connection is possible, the book will help you make the connection. Reading their words will help you. Be aware, here's a quote from the book. Be aware that these choices you make and opinions you form do rest heavily upon your overall soul vibration, since this is the time for transformation. Delve deeply into the idea of whether it is right to kill a much larger number of people in revenge and retaliation for an event that happened upon your own soil, especially in the light of the example of Gandhi, and then had India taken arms against the British in violent rebellion, they might still be a colony to this day. Also be aware that you can still love those who choose to disagree with your views and not let partisan politics become a bitter schism that separates you from the world around you. So in the large-scale arena of world politics, all does come back to the drama of self. The experience of life provides the grist for the mill of transformation. Issues that transpire between nations are but large-scale dramatizations of the issues that occur between self and others. And it is important that we keep our focus centered on the self and how you can heal your interactions with others and move towards a greater understanding. Regardless of your opinions about world events, it is unlikely that you are in a position to do anything of deep significance to change them. However, when you take responsibility for your own attitude and emotions from one moment to the next, you are actively helping to raise the overall vibrations of the planet at this time, which does indeed have a direct effect on the consciousness of all involved. Well, sometimes people feel helpless, and they look at our world, and they think, what can I do? And in actuality, what they're saying there, and I know this is true, that what we see as the negative is an expression of each of our own shadows externalizing. And as each of us transforms and uplifts ourselves so that we can operate at a higher level than what I'm calling the shadow, and that doesn't mean the shadow goes away, because it does not, to my experience, go away. It's there, and you operate above the level of the shadow. And some people have understand that the physical realm is a download from the realm above it. Some people call it the etheric. And that each of us is, I can say this, but not too many people can live this, each of us is a co-creator with all that is. That the Ra group, as huge and as large and as powerful as they may be, are us. We are them. So as we open up to them, we're opening up to a far greater part of ourselves. And you start operating as you open up these levels with a degree of expansion, so that as you're moving around and doing things and intending things, your actions are supported by a great expanse of energy that goes deep into the cosmos and external to yourself. But I say yourself external to your physical self, but in fact is you. And can you learn to operate this way? When you do, you will change your life and the people around you. because it's not a matter of mental, intellectual understanding. It is a matter of what I call expanding one's hologram. So it is inclusive of the holograms around them, and that some of those holograms, which are the extensions of those people around you, will join with you, and now you have a team of energy. I thought I would, I hope we're on the radio. I thought I'd give people the opportunity to call in. Call-in number is 888-389-3452. And if anyone has a question or comment on what I'm saying or if it relates to something in their experience, then Seth will answer the phone and put you online. So I've studied the Ra group quite extensively, and I realize that myself am very likely my high self is a member of the Ra group, and that some of you who are listening might identify with all of this, and your high self might be part of the Ra group. And what they say is that imagine you have this group soul energy of millions and billions of individual souls, and that each soul has its own free will and its own future that it's creating. And many, many of these souls from the Ra group have chosen to take incarnations in this realm as volunteers. And they came here to be of service, to help, to uplift the vibration here in this realm. But according to the channelings, 90% of them, once they're in this realm, forget why they came. And they get caught up in the miasma of physical existence. So, part of the value of studying the Ra group is that you may be one of those souls. And if you are, as you read their words, they become like a wake-up call. And this has happened for many, many people who have studied my work. And they say, wow, this is me. This makes sense. I've done this. I have a cellular memory. Their words make sense. So they call those people or those souls that have incarnated, that have graduated, wanderers. And apparently it's not, for many wanderers, it's not easy in this realm because they feel disconnected, they feel alienated, and until they find their real purpose, why they're here, they don't connect. And sometimes they go into drugs. And sometimes they get ADD. And sometimes they get very depressed. And sometimes they have what you could call wanderer's diseases like Epstein-Barr and fibromyalgia. These are all indicators of higher dimensional beings in this realm. And it's not a piece of cake because this realm is extremely dense. And once you're here, as I said earlier, there's no memory. So I have it's been a great responsibility for me to be in the position to have written the book, and I haven't talked about my own experience on this call, but to be fairly certain that I've got this right. And so we have an ongoing bunch of activities to help people that perhaps fit into this category uplift and find their sense of purpose. And one of those things is our Wednesday night live channeling, which I hope some of you might check in on. So the gentleman by the name of Matthew, who I discovered a year ago or so, who is, although he doesn't say it, I believe he's channeling part of the Ra group, but whether he is or he isn't, there's just immense wisdom. You might get your pencil out, because I'll give you the phone number. You can call to listen to last Wednesday's replay, and if it resonates, you can tune in this Wednesday and actually submit a question. So the phone number is 218-936-1100.
All callers are unmuted.
And the PIN is 375-25-POUND. 375-25. Oh, I am sorry. I'm giving you the phone number for this call. The phone number for the Wednesday Matthew call is 218-862-1115. And the PIN is 88261-POUND. And if you want to submit a question, you would submit the question to questions@messageaday.net. Messageaday.net. And if you're interested in getting a message every day from these sources, I have a program called messageaday.net, which if you go to that website, no spaces, you can sign up. And every day, it's still being edited, it's still rough, but it seems to be working, judging from the responses I get. So I think we're about finished with our time on VBS Radio. I thank you all for being here, and maybe we'll see some of you on the Wednesday night Matthew call. I send you lots of love and blessings, and have a wonderful rest of the evening.